To every unsung American hoping your voice would be heard, it has been heard tonight.
We're going to be held to account by those who have placed us in their trust.
This act that was passed is an all-American act.
Today is a great day.
It is a naive day.
It shows America can get onto the new path it needs to be on.
Today is a mournful day.
I am very sad today.
Today is an average,
awesome,
uncertain,
historic,
frustrating,
serious day.
This is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Whatever kind of a day it is in the passage of health care reform, the legislative formalities of health care reform are continuing in Washington. There'll be a signing ceremony this morning at the White House. There'll be more procedural votes in the Senate. But really, the history of health care reform is going to take place not in Washington, but in doctors' offices, hospital emergency rooms, and in insurance claims forms as people begin the task of changing the way we do things. Now, the hard reality of how change will happen for doctors, for patients with so-called pre-existing conditions, and hospitals is really coming into focus.
We see multiple crises every day related to diabetes. It's a silent disease without very many symptoms until you have the crisis event. The disaster of it. Many people don't even know they have diabetes until they present here with their crisis situation, and we're the ones who make the diagnosis.
It can perhaps be said that the mother of all pre-existing conditions is a chronic disease like diabetes. That's Dr. Britt Durham in Southern California speaking in a documentary produced 5 years ago, but he would say the diabetes crisis is unabated if he were talked to this morning. Dr. Ann Peters joins us once again. She is director of the clinical diabetes program at the University of Southern California, also appeared in that documentary and is a colleague of Dr. Britt Durham. Dr. Ann Peters, first of all, thanks so much for getting up early because this is such an important subject.
Yes, it is.
And how is diabetes and the management of diabetes really a test case for the entire healthcare reform program?
Well, I think it's been affected in every way by what the current system had that was both right and wrong about it, because we've been able to show that treating diabetes really improves outcomes, but if you aren't able to have access to health care, you don't have a primary care provider, you can't afford your medications, you get horrible complications, and so it needed help more than almost anything I know.
Do you think this bill provides the resources to increase the number of primary care physicians, to increase hospital patient advocates, to help on the front end, to get people educated?
I think it's a start, and I think time will tell. Diabetes is an epidemic. We're seeing more and more of it all the time. But we have been so lacking in resources that I think this will only improve the situation.
John Salazar joins us along with Dr. Ann Peters. He's a court officer in Michigan. John, how long have you had diabetes?
About 20 years.
20 years. And who have you used as your primary care physician over that 22 years?
I've had primary doctors in the past, but now, right now I'm using a free clinic because I can't afford no health insurance.
And what specifically was your reaction to the health care reform bill? Did you feel it had something specifically for you?
Oh, yes. I was happy that it passed.
And, you know, we talk a lot about educating patients to keep themselves in better health so that their diabetes doesn't become a crisis, which produces costs throughout the system. Who has educated you throughout that 22 years?
Basically my family, because my whole family had diabetes. And my brother just passed away from diabetes.
And would you say your disease is preventable?
No, not in my case.
Right, not in your case.
It's genetically, it's going to happen no matter what they said.
Dr. Ann Peters, how many people like John Salazar are there out there with chronic conditions who maybe have families with the chronic condition who are managing this on their own?
Oh, I think it numbers in millions, and I think we don't even begin to know the entirety of it because many people who have diabetes don't even know they have it. So I think we are going to start finding those cases. It's almost always treatable, even if you can't prevent it. But in many cases, if you found it early, even with families where there are many family members with it, you can actually do a lot early. And that's what I want to start seeing is earlier, better treatment, as well as treatment for people like John who've had it for a while.
Well, John, let's think of you as a bit of a trailblazer this morning, if you don't mind. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
You've had to undergo all kinds of behavioral changes to mitigate and reduce the impact of diabetes on your body. What are those changes, and how hard were they?
It was kind of hard because I like my regular pop, and I had to change that from that to Diet Pop, which was very hard to do. I did that, changed my diet through my wife's help. I used to weigh like 240 pounds. I eventually got down to about 180 because I didn't want to get the shots. I was really, you know, even though my family's all had shots, I didn't want to have that. So they were, I'm still staying away from the shots right now by taking pills. And I feel good. You know, it's just that I've had episodes where sometimes I've had a drop where my whole body gets drenched and it just bottomed out. And I had my older brother shove a cupcake in my mouth. I mean, that's how bad it got.
When was your last real crisis?
Oh, God, it was about 5 years ago.
5 years ago. That's a pretty good record, wouldn't you say, Dr. Ann Peters?
Well, it depends on which side you're looking at. I would say he should never have a crisis if he's getting really good health care. But I think he's done an amazing job in terms of losing weight and taking care of his disease through a lot of the behavioral changes.
Now, you have patients in both Beverly Hills and at the public hospital there in Los Angeles. How difficult is it to train the diabetic population to really behave appropriately and to reduce the impact of diabetes both on their bodies and on the healthcare system?
It's not hard if you have resources. So we have a wonderful team of nurses, nurse practitioners, and physicians who are available to patients. And patients who get referred to our program by their primary care doctor, when you work with the primary care doctor, do a lot better. But we don't have nearly enough people, you know, providers in that program compared to the number of patients with diabetes.
Does the federal government seem to be interested in providing those resources?
I think it will be.
I see. So healthcare reform really depends on those resources at your clinic being generalized across the United States, a significant investment indeed. Dr. Ann Peters, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Ann Peters is the director of the Clinical Diabetes Program there at the University of Southern California. John Salazar, keep drinking that Diet Coke now.
Thank you very much.
Or Diet Pop, whatever it is. Take care, buddy. John Salazar is a diabetic and a court officer in the state of Michigan. He's had diabetes for 22 years.